If you have your Bibles, quickly open to the book of Hebrews with me. I want to read something from chapter 13. I'll read from verse 5. It said, "Let your character be free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, 'I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you.'" He said, "For this reason, we can confidently say," all right? He says, "so that we confidently say, 'The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid.' What is I will not be afraid. What shall man do to me?" That is, I make confident declarations. I make bold statements in life, not because I'm a naturally bold person. I make bold statements in life, not because I have the confidence in myself. The Bible says that we are not saying any of these things come from us, but our sufficiency is of God. So I'm making these bold declarations because God has said, notice what he said there. He said, "Because he himself has said," in verse 5, "I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. That is the reason why I boldly declare, 'The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid.'" All right? He said, "What shall man do to me? I will not be afraid of anything. I will not be afraid of anyone." There was a time that the army of the enemies came to arrest Elisha. And the servant was really, really, panicking because he thought that things were really out of order. And he came to the master and said, "Alas, my master, what are we going to do?" And Elisha was totally relaxed. He was totally relaxed. He was not even concerned about what was going on. And when the servant couldn't understand that, all right, he explained to him, "Those who are with us are more than those who are against us." You understand? It's not as if we cannot see the armies around. It's not because we don't realize that they have the weapons and will be able to harm us if they desire it. But we are saying that the armies on our side, all right, they are more in number and they are stronger than their own army. Are you getting the point there? So his confidence was based on a reason. Anybody who is confident for no reason is a fool. Are you getting what I'm saying? You know, if it's somebody who's just unnecessarily confident, it is because he's a fool. You understand what I'm saying? And that's why the Englishman said that the fool rushes into even where angels fear to tread. So we're not talking because we have our own natural confidence. We talk because of what God has said. Are you getting my point? So Elisha was not afraid, but that was because of what he knew. Please, I hope you're following me. You can never be confident in life unless you know something or you're a fool. That's all. Let me say it again. Confidence either comes from knowledge or because something's wrong with you. You understand what I'm saying? That's just the way it is, okay? If any, you know, I keep on saying that it's difficult to decide between a man who has faith or a man who's just plain crazy. Both of them can appear alike. Both of them can appear alike. So you hear them, you wonder, what is wrong with this man? It may be because he knows something. Imagine that they say the armies are against you. They have come to arrest you. And then you say that, I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to lie down here. It's either because you don't understand what is going on, or you know something that other people do not know. You follow the point I'm making. And that's what happened to Elisha in that particular situation. So he prayed for his servant and said, open his eyes. He was praying that God would let the man see. And the Bible says in 2 Kings chapter 6, that's verse 17 I'm reading from, "And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw." And what did he see? The Bible says, "Behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha." But the point I'm making here is this, is because, now I don't know whether, listen to this, I don't know whether Elisha saw them ahead of time. I don't know. Or he just knew that the word of God had promised him. And for that reason, he knew they must be there. Please, I hope you understand what I'm saying. It's as if he just had the confidence that these people must be there. I'm bringing down something. This is what we're talking about today. He said, "Because he has said, therefore we boldly or confidently say." In life, let me say this again. I'm summarizing everything we have discussed, and we'll go into our own bold declaration or confident statements for the day. We must confidently say. I don't know whether you follow what I'm saying. That we have a reason to say confidently. Yeah, that is true. But I want to explain to us again, we have a charge to speak confidently. You know, when we're talking about the law of spiritual weaponry, We said that the angels, you understand? It's as if they are not able to do anything if we don't issue weapons to them. And how do we issue our weapons? It's by the words that we speak. And we said this is the sword of the spiritual realm, which is the word of God. That is, this is what they use in the realm of the spirit, the words that we speak. So we have a duty, we said it then, to arm our angels. We have a duty to issue out weapons to them. And I'm saying to us again this evening, this is how we do it, by our confident declaration, all right? It's by our bold statements. Listen, I like one thing, what's his name now? John G. Lake, yes, one of my favorite ministers of then. One thing he said is that if you have that, there was a time in their environment, people felt that if you say anything boldly, because you are proud. Let me say something quickly about pride. Pride is when you are saying what is not so, and you are making it look like it is so, and you are talking about yourself. Are you getting my point? Now, if I tell you that I am the most handsome man in the world, it can be pride. It can be simple truth. And let me tell you, if I think, therefore, that every woman will want to marry me, that's pride. You know why? It's not true. But if I say, therefore, my wife agreed to marry me, that is true, isn't it? I must be the finest man in the world when she agreed to marry me. True of us. Yes, it's our opinion in our home. Amen? If you ask my children, if I tell you, look, I'm the best daddy in the world, it can be true or it can be pride. What do I mean by pride? If I say I'm better than all the other daddies, in short, they should remove them from the daddyhood and put me as the daddy over their homes, then something's wrong with me. But if I go into my house and ask my children, who's the best daddy in the world? And I say, man, are you my guy? You know, it's not a lie. You understand my point? To them, I am the best daddy in the world. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Now, pride is when you start saying things that are not ascribable to you, and you are speaking of them as if they are yours. You get my point? And if I come and say, I can do all things, I say, why? Because I'm very strong. That's pride. But if I come out and say, I can do all things, say, why? I say, through Christ who strengthens me. That's not pride. That's just a statement of fact. If I tell you, look, I can never lack in this life. You say, why? Do you know who I know? I say, what do you mean by who you know? He said, President is my father's friend. In fact, the other day, the commissioner for finance in 7 different states, the commissioners, they came to my house to discuss financial matters. My phone is ringing. Oh, it's Bill Gates. Let me take my call. You see, these are the reasons why I tell you I can never be broke. Oh, I got to be half hour now. We did. How's the project going? It's going on fine. How much are we giving them for malaria? 30 million. You hang the phone. See, I told you. The phone rings again. Sanusi. Hey, SLS, Hafa. How's the nation? Are we releasing 5,000 naira notes or 10,000 naira notes? I hang the phone. I say, see, in life I can never be poor. And I mentioned all those. That's pride. Are you getting my point? But if I say I can never be broke in life, I can never be poor in life, you say, why? And I said to you simply, it is because Jehovah Jireh, my provider, his grace is sufficient for me. That is truth. That's not pride. That is what? Truth. I preached once on radio. When I made that statement, I knew a lot of people were afraid. How can this man say like this? I said, I can never fail in life. It was Resurrection. So, you know, was one of those programs around Easter. Why? I said, because Jesus died to ensure that. It's not because I have learned some keys and some mechanisms and some methods of ensuring that failure is not my portion. No. I said, because Jesus died so that I will not fail. You know, Christians don't know, a lot of times, they don't know the difference between the two. So, instead of them to make bold declarations, they desist from making bold declarations, lest they be called proud. So John G. Lake, I was talking about, they said in their period then, a lot of preachers were afraid. He said there was one man he went to listen to. He said the man used to be such a powerful minister. Then he saw the man ministering, the power was no longer there. It was just a minister. The powerful was no longer present. So he asked somebody, what's going on with him? One of the things they told him that the man now ministers among some people who believe that if you are saying things about maybe your ministry, your life and everything, you are bragging. And you shouldn't brag. Ah, John G. Lake said, no wonder the power departed from him. That any man who has power with God will not be, the thing will flow from your mouth. There are things you don't know. Sometimes I say jokingly, but there are things I really believe, and you hear me say them a lot. When you come in, I don't tell you something like, let's see today whether there will be something to bless you. Have you ever said that? No, think about it. Have I ever said that? Look at, I said how many, now that you think I've said it, how many times have I said it? Yes, and I said, have I ever said that you kept quiet? So maybe you're doubting it. Please, honestly, have you ever heard me say it? That you walk in there and say that, I was praying this night, something will happen, just get ready, something may just happen. No, I will start by saying that you are going to be blessed today. You are going to be blessed today. And not only here, I went to preach for SU people, I told them that this is the kind of thing I do. There's nowhere I go, people are not blessed. And like I say, it's an anointing. They asked my wife, sometimes I look, I said, baby, I'm anointed though. Now, ask her now. I'll just stand in the house and say, my God, I'm anointed. There are two ways you can hear that. You can look and he just brags. Is he the only preacher? No, but this is how I say it. This is the meaning of it. And it happens sometimes when I'm listening to a message. You know, maybe Israel giving some messages, I'm supposed to go through it, or I'm packaging some things, or she's playing the message that I preached. And I hear some words, I say, my God. Who preached that? Who is this Pastor Banky? I say, my God, this guy is anointed. What I mean simply is this. When I hear some of those statements, I can't even remember making them. I did not plan to make them. Are you getting my point? They came on the spur of the moment as the Holy Spirit gave me inspiration. So when I say I'm anointed, what it means is that I didn't say that. I don't know whether you hear what I'm saying. That's always what I mean. I say, my God, that is, it's not my plan. It's not because I studied so hard. It is not because I learned some methods of suspending my audience before dropping them. I've heard people preach that. You suspend the audience, then you just leave. Then No. It's not because of that. It's because I just realized that that could not have been me. Are you getting my point? Just to give you as a testimony again. This morning, there's one woman who works in my office, one of our chief scientists. I knocked on her door. Then I opened it. I was teasing. I said, madam, I came to greet you. And there was one woman sitting with her. How are today now? Then the woman turned and said something to her in Igbo. And I heard Banky. And that woman nodded. This old woman shouted, Pastor! She said she met you in Parkland last week. Yes, the woman, she said that she met my wife last week, that she was talking with somebody, and she heard the person say, Mrs. Banky. And she said, is this the same Banky? This following week, she came to my hospital and came to my department. Didn't know I worked there. Do you understand? But she heard my voice and said, this voice, and told the woman, is that Pastor Banky? And the woman nodded, yes, that he's my head of department. She started shouting, there are two of my children. They are so much in love with you. Oh, they were talking. That is, that they will be calling each other. Have you heard? Call their other people. Just, the woman was going on and on for like 30 minutes. She was going on and on and on and on and on. Now, did I go out of my way to impress her children? No. She said that she listened to me yesterday on Dream FM. That's so when I just entered the office and just said, madam, good morning. I just let me say good morning. She just heard that voice and said, is that so and so person? And she took over the conversation. I had to stand there and be smiling. Now, this is what I'm making. Did I engineer all of these things? No. So if I go to my wife and say, baby, I'm anointed, what it means is that there is something that I drop and people are blessed by. Do you get my point? It doesn't mean, Paul said that we are not saying this sufficiency is from ourselves. He said our sufficiency is of God, who has made us able as ministers of this New Testament. If you're a preacher, there's nothing like humility. Say, we just they try. We're not they try. Holy Spirit, they try. Amen? Amen. Not be we. It's the Holy Spirit is the anointing of God. So a man can go and say, I'm anointed. And what it means is that you are not. I'm better than you. No, he also can say, and this is what I understand, he can say, I am anointed. And what he's saying is that whatever it is you are seeing in my life is not my effort. It is not my doing. It is the grace of God working with me. And this is what point I'm making. Be bold. If God's grace is working with you, get up and say it. God's grace is working with me. Listen to what Paul said. He said, I labored more than them all. What kind of price will be worse than that? That you carry James, John, Peter, added them together and say, I've labored more than all of these people. And in case you are doubting it, just pick your Bible and see whether the letters he left behind, whether those letters are not more put together than the letters of the other people put together. But he now said, it is not me. It is what? The grace of God working with me. What am I saying? There's a difference between pride and bold declaration. You know my testimony I give you all the time. When I first met my wife, I was always, you know, I didn't know I was trying to do anything, you know. And from time, you know, if I had a record in sincerity, I'm serious, I had a record. Say, bank, you know, they deceive person. I heard the testimony. So if I have 5 naira, I will let you know, say, okay, this guy that's running after you, now 5 bucks we ain't get. No, I'm serious. And I had the style. Now, you guys, let me just teach some of these methods. It's good. You marry a good wife like I did. You should learn some of these methods. You can't go and tell a woman you're cheating, say, see my payslip. Can you do that? Is it an interview? Bring your last pay record. No, not trick. So can you believe it? These people are selling dinner ticket. Hey, for 6,000 naira, dinner ticket. My whole salary can only buy two tickets, safe. You've told her you are earning 12K. That's it. She went to school, she would do the arithmetic. So can you just use that trick? It works. So I used to reveal everything. But there was a time my wife, she was angry that who asked me to describe the apartment where I'm staying in Lagos? In my mind, so the day you come there, you won't be disappointed. You know, there's one problem with people who are anointed. You know what I'm saying? Anointed. When they come and they are talking, you think that the whole life is anointed. You know, nothing, only the voice will get the anointing. You won't know the pocket is not anointed. The transportation method is not anointed. You get what I'm saying? The bank account is not anointed. You get what I'm saying? You won't realize it. You just think that because the guy come and say, praise God. You know, as I was beginning to minister this morning, and the Lord, you think that voice, it's created in the pocket. It's not. There was one young woman I knew once. She was engaged to one bro, and then the relationship scattered. So I asked her friend, say, what happened? He said, what used to happen is that when that brother is minister, and that was a powerful minister, the guy was, as I was beginning to minister, the Holy Spirit began to speak to me, and you know, those kind of things. And then one lady came into the hall, and I suddenly had the vision, and you know, she would say things like that, which is not a lie. True, the guy was really, really like that, you know? And then the man would minister and say, one day we had an issue, and I began to speak forth, and I called, and you know, and then something happened, you know, that kind of thing. Now he proposed to Sister Leon. Sister Leon, I agree. She thought his whole life was anointed. Except that a guy will be broke and he will call and money no go gree answer. You understand? I mean, we'll try and maybe make progress in life in some areas and he will lay hands on those areas and they won't get healed. And the lady look, say, maybe I say this anointing. Only works when there's wood in front. That is behind the pulpit. The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. Yeah, you know, it happens. So that's why as a preacher, if you are planning to marry, if you're a man, you're a preacher, you have to calm down. Tell your neighbor, calm down. Calm down from the pulpit. Go and visit the young lady wearing slippers. You understand my point? And when you get there, you know, speak one or two bad language. Don't go and be saying, praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. How are you today? What did the Holy Spirit? You understand? Go, please. Discuss football. You understand my point? Talk normally. Anyway, the Lord is good. I'm prolonging this my discussion. But I have to help all these young people. Because that way your life will be very straight. God will help you. You will still get a good wife. Any wife you deceive, you have to deceive her all your life. And you don't want to walk in deception. Be walking deception. Is it good? You can't even do it. They will soon find out. Some people have, I don't know what's wrong with some people. All these things you are lying about. We will soon find, we should even not be married. Say, we will marry you. We will come marry you. Finish. How you can't take manage now? Every time you're coming to my house, you're borrowing car. You borrow car, borrow. Come trekking one day. How you keke na pep? Say, where's your driver? He's outside. It's true. Let the young woman follow you to the keke na pep. So that it can only get better from there. It can only get better from there. From keke na pep becomes moto na pep. Then one day, the Lamborghini na pep. It's a 737 na pep. Whatever you put outside doesn't matter as long as it can fly. Are you getting my point? You know, you'd be amazed. A lot of people think this is revelation. This is not revelation. This is basic common sense. Anyway, you know, I started from somewhere. I've not forgotten. So those days, I used to be very, very open. But in the midst of my openness, I used to talk very boldly. I told my wife that I would take you all over the world. I learned that one from Archbishop Benson Dowsa. And I still mean it. I used to say it very boldly. I didn't even know how boldly I used to talk until one day my wife tapped me and said, this man, he do. It's enough. You that you are so full of yourself. Is it not this you I'm looking at? And she didn't put that, is it not this you I'm looking at? But I'm trying to make it clear what she was saying. And I was surprised. So I went back home. This is where the whole gist is going. But I've helped you along the line, I hope. I went back home. I went and read my Bible. I went and prayed. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, is it really true that I'm full of myself? I came back next day. So that thing you said yesterday, I've thought about it. And I found out that it's not true. I'm not full of myself. I'm full of God. I said, I'm full of what? God. If I tell you that I have all sufficiency, it's not because I like to say it. It is because I read somewhere that he said, he makes all grace abound towards me, that I having all sufficiency in all things, we are bound. That's the word. In fact, R.B. Thiem said, it means super abound unto every good work. I said, it's not me. That's what, just the scripture. Because he has said, that is why I'm boldly saying. You know, I didn't come to apologize and say, sorry, I shall be humble in thy presence. No. I said, whatever you heard me say is what the word of God said. And this is the truth. I actually said something like this, you know, at other times. If you like, refuse to marry me because of what I'm saying, I'm not going to change my mind because I want to marry. It's true. You know the reason? Let me tell you the truth. That's what I'm trying to explain today. Boldly declaring is crucial for your destiny to be manifested. You can't go around apologizing. I told you once I was in school, one of my classmates, one very tall guy, all right? So one of my classmates once, he stopped me and said, why do you talk like this? You talk as if, when we're third-year students then, College of Medicine, University of Benin, you talk as if God is for you alone. And I said to him, God is so big, you can take your own portion. I told him straight, as I have taken my own, the one that's remaining is enough for everybody. In fact, I got a chat line today, one of our brothers sent to me, that this is the gospel of abundance according to God. That in the beginning, God created abundance, and out of it, he brought forth abundance, and what was remaining was abundance. I got that one today. I told the fellow then, I said, what is your problem? Am I telling you, is it God finishing? It's not finishing. And so we're praying for this exam that used to scare every medical student. Third and second MB. And everybody was trembling. And I used to say that in a lie. This exam ain't failing it. That is not possible. I can't fail it. Nobody can fail me. Nobody is bold and big enough to fail me in this exam. I kept on saying that thing. No, I didn't know it was offending some people. That was my first experience in persecution. I said, listen, I'm not going to fail. Why should I fail? And like, the man said, one day I was talking, this same guy, before this conversation I reported to you, the first encounter was that he got angry, packed his things and walked away. I'd just be talking foolishly. That's what he told me. I'm like, who's I talking to you? The man vexed. So next time when he sat down, he said, look, he wants to advise me. That it's not good to just be talking like that as if God belongs to you alone. I said, it's enough to go around. When I've used all my own portion of him, the one that's remaining is just the way it was before I came. That's the meaning of the word everlasting. We always look at everlasting as if it means, you know, 1 million years times 1 million years times 100,000 million years times 1 million million years. That's one dimension to everlasting. That's what I call the length. The Bible talks about the length, the breadth, the width, and the depth of the love of God. So spiritual things have different dimensions. The duration is just one dimension. Everlasting is just, it's not just duration. The word eternal or everlasting also talks about quantity. I don't know what I get my point. If he says he's the eternal God, he's talking about the quantity of his ability. It's not just how long he's living. He talks about the extent of his love. He talks about the extent of his grace. And when we use the word everlasting, it means he's not the finish. He's not the diminish. He's not the deplete. So if I use it, when you come and start, it's just as much as it was before I came. And that's why I told my friend, let me tell you the truth. God in heaven said, this boy, these words that he has spoken, I must uphold them. He said, I watch over my word to perform it. You know what I'm talking about? To ensure that that word didn't fall to the ground. God made sure I had good revelation to tackle the most difficult exam. That is for me personally, that was the most difficult. I've told this story many times. The day before our final, before our biochemistry, we just finished physiology earlier in the day. So it's been a tight day. You know, do paper one, paper two. In the evening, you still come back to class to read for the next day. I just looked, somebody just passed a comment, one of my classmates passed a comment, and I realized I had not had enough sleep. I said, are you serious? I'm going to sleep. He just calculated how much sleep we had had over the last few days. I said, are you serious? That little? I said, no, I'm going to sleep. I just packed my things. So I'm going to the hostel. As I was about to leave the class, I just looked down. I saw one of my friends just, you know, was near the door. One of my classmates was reading something that I was seeing for the first time since we were given the handout. I had forgotten totally about it. I just quickly borrowed it. I had mine, but I think it was in the hostel. I quickly borrowed somebody's zone. I think it was his zone. And sat behind him and read it for like 30 minutes. I don't want to bore you with this. I still remember this stuff till now. All right? Next day, after the paper one, during the break, I read three different topics, one after the other. It's like you're just sitting there and say, oh, have you read this? Hey, I forgot. Quickly read it. After that, I said, oh, what about this one? I flipped over to it, read. After three like that, I walked into the exam hall. Out of 8 questions, we're supposed to choose 5. These last 4 things I read were just listed there. 1, 2, 3, 4. Do I need to tell you I chewed it very well? He said, 45 minutes more, I'd finished. 45 minutes, boy, you don't finish. No, you couldn't have finished. I told myself, start again. As I read again, after another 15 minutes, I said, I beg, you do. That's how I submitted it, and that's how I passed the exam. Listen, let me tell you the truth. I'm convinced now. If I'd gone telling that guy, saying, hey, don't be angry. Now, okay, from now on, I can fail, amen? You can fail, I can fail. 2 of us can fail. That's how I fulfilled that one. Are you getting my point? What am I saying? It's part of your duties in life to boldly declare. They know they charge for declaration, though. You understand my point? Nobody's going to charge you. People are afraid that, maybe, what if it doesn't come to pass? As long as he didn't brag in your name, the person who you bragged in his name, let him take care of himself. I don't know whether you're getting my point. If you say, in Jesus' name, I'm a believer, I'm a child of God. God is taking care of everything that concerns me. In this life, I will make it. In this life, I will not die young. In this life, you just keep on saying and saying. Just talk your own. Remember, you started by saying, in Jesus' name, I'm a child of God. God has taken care of you. I've mentioned his name all over the place. That's why at least it's good to name your children with God's name somewhere. I call my son, Akin Olu, Olu, Olu did there. It's like Olubenga. You understand? Akin Olu means God's warrior. Olubenga means, you know, I told you what you call your children is not for them actually. It's first and foremost a sign of what you believe and what you are saying about your life, about your wife, about your family. They are just the extensions of what you believe. So I shout, Akin Olu, that's Olu Dede. All my children have Olu in one corner of the name or right in front, somewhere. My last boy's name is Olusegun. That one, that his name is Victory. The English one is Victory. Now, I always like to add them together. Like Olubenga, his name is Olubenga Daniel. Daniel means God my judge. You understand? Olubenga means God is lifting me up. And all you need to do is read my tract, Daniel. You know, God my judge means God is lifting me up. Daniel, that's what it means. So the last one, I called him Victory. The full name is Victory over sickness, death, all the works of the devil. It's one long name like this. In summary, we call it Victory. And the Yoruba name he bears is Olusegun. My wife calls him Oluleke. I said, that's your own. You know this, oh, it sounds very nice. Oluleke. This life is not about what's nice. So. He said, I just said, it's nice. What's, who cares about it's nice? Somebody wants to kill you. I say, about what is nice? Life is trying to enjoy you. I'm talking about what is nice. I told my wife, okay, you can call him a nice name. I'm going to call him a worrying name, which is Olusegun. Oluleke, Olusegun, they sound similar. Let me teach you small Yoruba. Leke is when Chelsea plays Manchester United. Whoever wins is the one that leked. You get my point? So when they want to cast the news, say, today, Enyimba leked over Akwa United. You know what I'm saying? That is leke. But Shegun is, America went to Iraq and Shegun over Saddam Hussein. They don't Shegun on football field. They only Shegun went to whom? Bwah! Whoever comes out of the battle alive is the one who Shegun. So I told my wife, nice name, not my portion. Victorious name, I like that. So he said, Oluleke, fine, you can be Leke all you want. But for me, the name is Olusegun. And it means the Lord. Let me put many words to it. This is the Lord, the warrior. The Lord of hosts has conquered. That's what it means. So every time I shout it, it's a declaration. Shegun over all the problems of life. Amen. It's good. Look, when you name your children, always put one God resounding name somewhere. You'll be hearing it all the time and be explaining periodically to everybody. Sometimes my children are not feeling well. It's by the victory. My wife will remind him, your name is Victory. You know what victory means? It means victory over death, sickness, you know, disease, poverty, all kinds of the works of the enemy. Therefore, you are well. What am I saying? We brag in the name of the Lord. That's it. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Therefore, our boast is in the name of the Lord. Don't worry about it. Just do the boasting and then do the sleeping. And then let the Lord do the conquering. Please, I hope you're getting my point. Listen, it's part of our duties in life to boldly declare. It's part of our duties in life to boldly declare. Let me tell you something. Life has phases, all right? There is a phase in which all God is giving you is the opportunity to boldly declare. What you are doing is that you are throwing those words forward. Then they go ahead to start acting on your behalf. The time you start seeing the results, you won't even know what happened. But those bold declarations that you made then, please, oh, their humility is not about being soft-spoken. What did I say? At all. Humility just, you know, there's humility like, oh, that man is very, very humble. But did you ever see Moses in his humility The Bible calls Moses the meekest man. Did you see him go to Pharaoh and say, Pharaoh, you know, say we used to be friends though. May I just advise you? Just let these people go. Meeting's not over. No. It was simple. Thus says the Lord, let my people go. Otherwise, I will injure you. Israel is my firstborn. Let my son go. Otherwise, I kill your sons. I mean, and they said the man is very humble. The humble man one day said, let us see who it is that God really anointed. If this man died the death of natural men, then I'm not called of God. And the ground said, okay, if humble man says it, it must be correct. The ground opened and swallowed the people. Humility is not just, don't think they're being soft-spoken. Humility simply means, if something is natural around me, I don't ascribe my victory, my progress, my success in life to things that are natural. Humility means that I recognize that everything I have is a gift of God. Humility simply means that God does not have to treat me like he did Nebuchadnezzar. I already get the point. I already know that this is not Babylon the Great, which I built with the strength of my might for the glory of my majesty. It is not my might. It is not my glory. It is not my majesty. Humility means a man can receive nothing except it is given to him from above. I understand that. Humility means that whatever he has given me from above is my own. I recognize that. Are you getting my point? Humility is not that we don't have anything, we are just small, praise God. Humility is that anything we have is not us that got it to, it's God. And if God says we have everything, humility is, I come out and say, I can do all things. Are you getting my point? I don't say that you know from our family we are small people. You understand my point? No, I was small in my own eyes. This is humility, but God has made me. I'm made. Let me not deceive you or deceive myself that I'm not made. But who made me? Humility is, it is God. It's not my wisdom. It's not my wisdom. That's humility. So when I get up and speak boldly, all right, it doesn't mean I'm not humble. Pride is when I turn all these things upside down. I don't recognize that, you know, I'm looking for title. One of the things I've seen around in the last many years is the pride of men. They love titles because of pride. They feel like without their title, they can't get to places. A man walks into your office. He has to give you all the titles that he's own, the ones that his father's, the one that belongs to his uncle, all the titles. You know, chief, so, so, and so, and so. Professor, this and this and this added to, yes, that's my sister's husband. Then he turns around. That's after he's even given you all his own titles. That is pride, thinking his title should carry him to places. Humility means that I don't need titles. I am anointed enough to perform the function that God, are you getting my point? Has created me, that God created me to perform in life. That's humility. What am I trying to emphasize? Humility is that I recognize that which God has given me, and I'm not going to deny it because somebody is unhappy about it. Please, I hope you are getting my point. Humility is, for example, I know wherever I go in this world, I'm a prosperous man. I'm a blessed man. If I live in Nigeria, I'm blessed. If I go to America, I'm blessed. If I go to Botswana, I'm blessed. If I go to Mali, you know what they call Mali? I'm blessed. If I go to Haiti, Haiti just got blessed. That is, my presence will bring a blessing into Haiti. Listen, if Christians understand these things, they stop rushing down to countries that are smooth. Go to countries that are rough and go and bring smoothness into their system. I'm a blessed man. Listen, if I move from here and move to Port-au-Prince in Haiti, they will start tarring their roads. My presence will bring progress into their midst. If God were to call me tomorrow night, if God said, okay, Banky, enough of preaching from Enugu, now let's go and start this preaching again from Haiti. No problem. We go to Haiti. and we start preaching. And listen, let me tell you something, eh? Because this is what is happening to you already. Listen, in this life, hear this. You, listening to me, one day you write a check, it's an offering, it's 100 million. And this is not pride. I'll tell you the simple reason. Why? Because I preach to you. If I go to Haiti, I will start preaching again. I won't beg big men to give. I won't beg them to come. I will just be preaching. And the same thing I'm saying here, I will say to the people there. Hear ye the word of the Lord. Any one of you listening to me, one day, you will own private jets and be doing good work all over the place. And you will be surprised that, is this me? And you'll be a normal person. After parking your jet, you take your big bike and be riding around Port-au-Prince, feeling very cool. You know why? Because I have been anointed to provoke the release of God's blessings in the lives of the people of God. It's not pride, it's a matter of fact. Are you getting my point? Humility is simply to know it's God that's doing it, it's not me. I told you I met somebody today and the woman was excited. At this, we had never met before. But because of the words that were blessing the lives of the people, so it couldn't have been me. It's the things that I'm saying. Are you getting my point? And these are not the things I decided that let me go and say to impress somebody. I said them because of the word of God that I studied, because of the unction of God upon my life, and because of the inspiration of God at that particular moment. Please, I hope you are following my point. Listen, it is therefore not humility to keep quiet about what God is doing in your life. It is not humility to deny the blessing that God is blessing you with, even though you haven't seen it yet. Say, you know, when you want to joke, you know, to joke about things that if they are taken literally, if they happen literally, it will be good. So one day when we are going on the road, somebody says that, is that your car? It's a very big car. Just look and say, that car. No, this is not mine. Mine is newer than this. It's finer than this. Okay, this is one of those ones I plan to give out to some people. And they will laugh. But don't ever stop saying it. Are you getting my point? Don't ever stop saying it. Look at you talking, sir. You don't even have a Morris Minor. He said, physically now, I will not have a Morris Minor. But when I want a Morris Major, they will make it for me because I will pay for it. And we're all laughing, you know. They don't worry. One day, when some of your children are going to school, tell them to come. I will dash them heavy motorbikes to go and use to oppress on campus. And we're all laughing. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. Bold declaration is a duty we have. Not because we love something. That's another thing. People think that, you know me, I'm a humble person. There's nothing much. What are we doing? That's not the point. The Bible said it's not because of what I like. He said, but because of what he did, what? Said. Because he has said, therefore, we confidently say. That's what we're talking about. And what am I emphasizing? We must confidently say. And you must listen to the word of God. On Saturday, I'm going to talk about it. When we're talking about, when you know, Elijah was woken up. He said, eat, for the journey is long. You don't just say confidently because you just like to talk confidently. What provokes confidence in your words is the confidence in your heart, which is as a result of the things that you have heard. You know, I was making a joke with my students yesterday. I asked a young man a question. So it was, you know, I said, listen, I have noticed that the volume of the voice of a student when asked a question by the lecturer is directly proportional to the confidence he has in the answer he's producing. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, in life, if you are going to speak boldly, it's going to be because you have acquired confidence in the things that you are saying. It's not wishful thinking. It's not wishful thinking. And you know what Paul said to Timothy? He said, the things that you have learned and have become convinced of. Conviction comes from learning. Are you getting my point? What I wanted to do today, all right, was to start taking us again. I wanted us together start looking at what God has said, and then we'll now confidently say our own. You understand? Because when the Bible talks about the angels hearkening to the voice of his word, one of the mistakes we make sometimes that I want to quote the scriptures verbatim is not necessary. What did I say? It's not necessary. If you can, it's fine. So you have to say the way he, look, there are different versions of the Bible. What the angels hearken to is not the accurate quotation. That it did say shall or should. I've heard people say before that the demon refused to go out because the person said, in the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. That King James said every knee should bow. So the demon did not go away. So you are competing with the demon on the accuracy of the word, of grammar. Thank you. I told you, if you go to a village where the name of Jesus there is, if a man goes and says, I command in the name of, the demons will fly. You getting my point? It's not the accuracy. Did you quote it correctly? He said, He says, nothing shall by any means hurt you. He said, no, that was not what he said. He said, nothing shall by any means wound you. No. Once the conviction comes from what you have learned, whichever way you produce it, the angels hearken. If he said, look, because he has said, behold, I give you authority over serpents and scorpions, and nothing shall be any. So you now say that, nothing if you try. If that is what you say, the angels know what you mean. Maybe you are a worried guy. Say, who won't try? All you say is, demon, you won't try? They will just begin to disappear. Because what they are hearing, are you getting my point? It's not you won't try. They don't think it's you want to attempt. No. They say, man, this guy won't kill somebody. That's what they are hearing. There's one we used to say those days in school. Instead of saying that they can't dare it, we don't say that. We just say, no guy. That's all. He said, oh boy, no guy. No guy means nobody can dare it. You say, no guy. And that, you do your hand like this. No guy. So you can just be, you are going out at night. People say, hey, the witches are flying, or armed robbers are running. Just say, no guy. The demons take that as bazooka. They begin shoot. Say, Oga said, no guy. Any guy, put up your hand. Two, boom, they blow you to pieces. Oga said, no guy. Any guy, they see, they are blowing you apart. It's not the accuracy of the quotation. It is a confidence drawn out of information. Are you getting my point? That's what it is. Is a confidence that's a product of the information. Whichever word you use to release it, as long as you confidently release it. What am I saying? That confidence comes from the entrance of the word of God. That's where it comes from. That our series we did, then, the sayings of God. Please, if you don't have this CD, go and get it. I think it's on 2 MP3 CDs. They are quite plenty, all right? The sayings of God, maybe like 12, okay? Please, get the CDs, and listen to them. Because it's the thing that the Lord said, those are the things we use to produce what we are going to say. What I wanted to do, like I said earlier before, was to take them again one by one. Just exhort for 5 minutes on one, and then we'll begin to make bold declarations. Please, let me say something again. We are not making bold declarations because we have calculated and it makes sense. You don't see, don't check your salary now. And you've said that if you just save this money like this, after like 2.5 years, you'll be able to down pay for that house. And then, so you now start boldly declaring. Because he has said, take note of for tomorrow. After this is the Gentile sick. Therefore, I boldly declare, I have my own house. You are not declaring you have your own house because of what he has said. You are declaring because you don't calculate. So you are not thinking that your declaration is going to solidify your calculation. So that the calculation will not derail. Tell your neighbor, foul. Say it again, foul. It doesn't work like that. That's why it's good to start this thing so that you can convince yourself and all the angels that you are not lying. Starting when the calculations don't work. I remember then when I used to declare about cars when I was in Lagos. That one, I was not even, not only was I refusing to calculate, the calculation was not possible. You know, the calculations that make sense. This one was not possible. When I started residency, a neat car, neat one, all right, was about 160,000 naira to 200,000, all right? And you say, was it that cheap? Yes, relative, you know, it was about, that's maybe like, that's used car, not a brand new one, all right? Bluebird that people were buying that time was like, because one of my cousins was selling cars, so came up to the time to about 170, 180. But a very neat one, you get like 200K, you get a very nice ride. My salary was 6,000 naira. How you want to calculate that kind? You want that? I not even use the calculator. I don't calculate that kind. But then, ask my wife. I was a very nice guy declaring. I used to declare all kinds of things. I used to declare that I would buy cars and dash people. I used to declare that I would drive any kind of car I want. I can buy a car, drive it for 2 days, decide I don't like it, give somebody. And I'm still declaring it. And little by little, they are coming to pass. There has never been by calculation. Because that time, the calculation was not possible. One day, a friend of mine said, well, try and buy a car. And I said, sit down. You know how much I earn. You know what I do. Show me how to do the arithmetic. I'm serious. The person I'm telling you about, I saw him last week. So it's not a story. He tried to explain. I said, number one, I ain't going to buy a dead car that will be driving me rather than me driving it. It's true. I knew friends who bought cars that were driving them. May a car not drive it. That's your name. May God bless you with that thing that you will drive. I didn't hear your amen now. Amen. And you will bless people with things that they will drive. Amen. You will build a house that you are the one that will live in it. Amen. Not every day you are repairing roof. Foundation is sinking. You begin digging up. Some people became mechanics because they thought they bought a car. Every time you see him, his hand has grease on it. We know you're an engineer, but let's tell the truth. This is not engineering. This is mechanicry. Listen. Don't listen. There's no pride in it that I must drive. If motor is not going to drive, park it. Those are taking keke napep and taking taxis and buses. They are not evil people. They are blessed also. They are riding cars they did not buy. Blessings have levels. And those days in Lagos, you will just be driving. That is, they claim they own a car. The car is driving them. My colleague would drive a car for 1 day. The car would drive him for 2 days. I like to tell this joke because makes people laugh. One day, his mechanic came to the office. He said, please, I look at some person. I said, it's not around. I said, okay, I brought his car. I said, all right. Maybe he said, okay, I'll bring it back tomorrow. He left. And then came back after 5 minutes. He said, can I park the car here? I said, why don't you want to take it away again? He said, actually, I tried. He refused to follow me. I said, wait, the car you drove down here now? He said, yes, sir. I said, let's go now. I went there. Let's start the car. Zoom, 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 put down for gear. You put down for gear. The car was still going zoom, 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 stay on one spot. I said, what happened? I said, maybe your clutch cable. Because I said, God, this one will be clutch cable. He was a mechanic. I was not a mechanic. So, okay. And I went to the shop, went to bring boys to push the car back to the shop. I said, oh boy, I worship you for downfall. Thank you for Molo. None of them do I ever have to push. God will bless you with that which will bless you. Amen. Not the one you'll be worshiping because you have this thing in your head that if you don't have a car, you're a dead man. No. God will bless you with that which will bless you. Amen. And when you want to bless somebody, you will bless somebody with that which will be a blessing to them. I tell my wife, I want to give somebody something. I said, this is your shirt. It's still good. I said, no, it's not good. Maybe I have a shirt now. It now develops a hole. I don't give it out. Once it has a hole, any shirt I want to give, it must be a shirt I'm still wearing. Maybe I live here now. That's how I like this shirt. I remove it and give it to you. I wore it yesterday. I gave it today. Once it begins to get punctured, Oh, I said, some people will appreciate it. I said, let them go and take it from the dustbin. Ask her. I'm not lying. We'll have discussion. Hey, some things people wear, they're not even this good. I said, am I saying it's not true? I'm just saying my hand can't give them. I will go and hang it at the door. Let them take it by themselves. What I'm trying to say, God will bless you to a level. He will bless people with things that will be a blessing to them.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
What's the point I'm making? At that time when calculation could not calculate, my friend said, I said, show me now. He said, He said, look, some of this money you give out, you just have to stop. I said, What are you trying to do? Make sure I'm poor all my life? Excuse me? No, that's a no-go area. There is seed for the sower and bread for food. Any money God gives me, there's my portion. And there is a portion of other people. There is a portion of other things. It's called seed for the sower and bread for food. If you chop the one that's not your own, you will get sore throat, indigestion, constipation. That's what happens to people that eat things that don't belong to them. I said, that one is not my portion. No. In fact, diarrhea, I forgot to add that one to it. For eating things that are not your own. I said, no, don't go near there. I can't say because of a car that will catch fire, I can't be a blessing to people anymore. And you cook, anybody knock, put them under the table. Because you must buy a car. I said, please, it is better to trek into eternal life and to drive into this hellfire that you are trying to explain to me. But listen, my brethren, at that time, I was already declaring, I will buy cars for people. What's the problem? We'll buy cars and bless people with it. That time is going to come when people are getting married. It's a motor car that we'll be using for wedding presents. I said, the time will come, maybe one of my sons, not necessarily natural sons, you understand? It can be sons in ministry, sons in life, sons anywhere. I said, you are getting married. I said, what do we give you? I said, they are selling these houses, just four-bedroom bungalows. You like one? Okay. Just all right. Just go and pick the form. I'll pay for it. That's a wedding present. I'm sorry I will not be able to come. I hope that will be able to compensate for my absence. I was saying this when I couldn't calculate enough to buy a used car. And listen to me, I'm closer to that point than when I first began. As per buying and giving people cars that's a blessing to them, I have done it several times. We've crossed that level. My own is the one who will be able to buy a brand new and dash person. Buy it and dash somebody. A day will come. No, you see, let me tell you something. There's nothing I have said boldly like that. Not even prophetic. I speak into my future. No, just talking. Don't worry, baby. We'll do this thing and do it and we'll be tired of it. There's nothing I have done said like that that I did not change my mind. That I didn't do eventually or that I'm not on my way to doing. So all the other ones I have said I have not yet done, you understand? I'm sure they will happen. Just because I preach this message today, I must dash people houses for wedding presents at least twice.
Yeah.
Just because I preach this message, you. Now, can I mind that I've been saying it when I was not preaching the message? Listen, it's good to look. Oh, God, I pray people will understand. God will. That's why you should just keep feeding yourself with the word of God, especially so you don't forget. You know why? Because a time will come, God will open doors for you to do these things. And what will happen if you're not careful, it happens to a lot of people, is that they will think it's such a great thing, they will refuse to do it. I don't know whether I get my point. There are people that they've been saying, they say, don't worry, it's the only school. They say school is expensive. We'll not only send our children to school, we'll send other people's children to schools. They've been saying it. Then one day, God opens a door of opportunity for them to pay, WASC fees. Now somebody's entering university, he needs a certain amount to just take for the first year, and suddenly you have the money, and God will give you the opportunity. But you just look and say, I never even begin get children safe. I could begin, you understand my point? You start rationalizing it away. But allow the Holy Spirit to remind you that you prophesied. And let me say something to you. There is nothing you do like that that God will not give you the ability to do 10 times in a short while. That is, the Bible says that, listen, he said, God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you having all sufficiency in all things will abound to every good work. He said that, Second Corinthians chapter 9. He said, now he who supplies it to the sower, verse 10, and bread for the eater will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. What does it supply and multiply? What does it supply and multiply? I didn't hear it. What does it supply and multiply? It doesn't supply chopping. It doesn't multiply the ability to chop. What does it supply and multiply? The seed for sowing. That is, if one day, you say, waiting. Me too, I can do it. And the people talk to you are struggling. One of your cousins wants to go to school. Somebody that you know. Somebody just say, you are struggling yourself, in quote, it appears like. Oh. But for one reason or the other, you just have that 150,000 naira. And that just happens to be what you pay his fees, get him set in school for the first year as he enters university. You say, what is it? Take. And then you go and buy yourself a bottle of Coke to celebrate your good works. Say, Lord, we said it now. We are going to do it. Thank you. It don't begin. Listen to me. In a year, if 10 people will come, you will have enough to do for 10. If you get to a time, listen to me, and don't be afraid of it. He said, if I give him now, the whole village will think I'm rich. What do you concern? You concern what they think? No, that's what happens to a lot of people. After we came to Enugu, the first time my wife and I said that, let's buy my father a car, you understand? So people would not think, if you do like that, your people would think you are rich. I said, what's my business? But if I don't buy it, and I sit down and say I'm poor, how will he be blessed? Are you getting my point? How will I be a blessed? And if I don't buy, who will buy it? Look, my father has children. I'm not the first son, really, you understand? But it turned out that I'm now the first son. You get my point? My other brother died long ago. The person older than me is a lady, you understand? I said, let's face it. I earn more money than the rest of them. If I don't buy it, who's going to buy it? It was 1 year's income from the University of Nigeria Teaching Hospital. So it's not like I had money. I told my wife, we're going to do it. And we agreed, and we did it. If you come here and say, hey, I have you get money, I don't get. What do you concern you? I'm not giving you. Go and arrest me now. The Bible says your son honors his father. I won't because you think I'm rich and be giving me all your problems. If you come and say, I'm sorry, I can't solve it, or I'm not willing to solve it. God is different. In the village, they will not be doing juju against you. You know me now. Those things is not they will enter my head. They concern me. They will say you are wicked. Don't worry. They will still come back. When they come back, you can say I'm wicked now. Then tomorrow when you come back, and I dash half a millionaire. Say, bro, I used to be wicked that time, but now. Listen, I don't feel like saying it. God will give you opportunities, all right, in life to bless people. Don't run away from it. Don't run away from it. He said, my cousins are coming to my house. They think I have money. And when they come, explain that, listen, that money I gave that guy, I had it that time. Right now, this 1,000 you're asking for, check my balance. *556#, 25 naira. See? Don't even flash me. I won't call you back. The point I'm making is this. You must continually declare boldly. And listen, sooner than you think. You know, as Christians, we're not declaring what we think we will chop. We go chop, we go belefu, amen. I said, we go chop, we go belefu, amen. That's taken for granted. That here, amen. Listen, say it. I will never lack. God supplies all my needs. I have everything I have to eat. I have every cloth I will need to wear. Because my father feeds the birds of the air. And he clothes the grass in the field. And he will much more clothe me. He will much more take care of me. This is the point I'm making. Listen, that one is taken for granted. What we are now talking about is the blessing, the abundance we will enter into so we can bless somebody else. And that's why, listen, sometimes before you even realize that you have reached that point, God will open the door and show to you that you have reached this point. So people think that they have to build their own house first before they can pay rent for other people. No. No. Before God gives you a house as your own, he will give you the opportunity to pay rent for people. And what I'm saying, don't shy away from it. You are blessed to be a blessing.
Amen.
Don't shy away from it. And it's when you get a good job, you now be educating other people. No. This, as a copper, you can be sponsoring. You just that you won't start from university as a copper. You start from primary school. You are a copper. You are any smaller. Like, you turn to people who are in primary school. Say, I knew that I was a blessed man. I knew I was a blessed woman. I'm going to help people in this my life. Just use style. From people where you know, their parents are not very, very strong in these things. They are your relatives. Go and read the story in that book, Grace to Prosper. Widows of your household. I talked about it on how to work, also how to work for God. Primary school, just book and sandals. Is that not so? School uniform, books, sandals. And you monitor, you go home. Where's your work? I hope you are doing very well. And you settle for the next term. Move away from those stupid schools they go in villages. And say, no, I'm serious. You know, village schools can be very, very funny. People say they're in GS2. They can't count to 15 without making a mistake. Move them to correct schools and be paying. You are walking your way into greatness. You know, we tell that food is not a problem. The car you will drive is not a problem. The country you will fly to is not a problem. It's how many people you'll be able to do these things for. That's what we're talking about. Well, let me stop the message. I hope you're blessed today. Don't forget, it's a story of what? Bold declaration. I wanted us to begin to declare again boldly together today, but I just feel like adding with this one too. So we'll take that one up next time. All right, if you're blessed today, shout a loud amen.
Amen.
Let's just rise to our feet and close the meeting. Let's not stay beyond the time that is necessary. Let's declare together again boldly, say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I have passed out of darkness and I have passed into life. And I have passed into the light of God. I have passed out of death. I have passed into life in Christ Jesus. Say like you believe it, my sins are forgiven. All ancestral curses are washed away from me. In this life, I am a success. In this life, I am a victor. In this life, I can do all things. Because Christ Jesus is the one strengthening me. Say, in this life, I can do all things. I can pay school fees for multitudes. I can sponsor ministries. I can make my family feel good. I can give my wife, my children more than they can ever imagine. I can be a blessing to any community. I can build houses for people that don't have. Because God is able to make all grace abound towards me. So that I, having all sufficiency in all things, I will abound unto every good work. Say, this is possible in Christ Jesus. And I am in Christ Jesus. Say, I have no disadvantage. I have no disadvantage. I have enough intelligence. I have enough connections. I have enough connections. I have enough resources. Because I am in Christ Jesus. Say it again. God is making all grace abound towards me. Therefore, all these things are possible. Say like you believe it, I will not die young.
I will live.
I will live.
I will live.
I will see my children.
I will see my children's children.
In the name of Jesus Christ. Say it,
I will live.
I will not die.
I will not fail.
Say, with long life he will satisfy me. And he will show me his salvation. Listen, let me tell you what I mean by show you salvation. It just means it's simple. Though you were small in your own eyes, God will make you. That's what it means to show you his salvation. That's what it means. Say it again. I will not die.
I will not die.
I will live.
I
I will declare the glory of God. And I will see the salvation that's in Christ Jesus. Just say, Father, I thank you. Give him thanks. Just worship him in your own words. In your own words, just thank him. Thank you, Father. Surely, God's goodness and his mercy will follow you all the days of your life, and you will dwell in the house, the presence of the Lord forever and ever.
Amen.
Goodness is your portion in Jesus' name.
Amen.
As you depart from here, peace goes with you.
Amen.
Don't forget when you get home, say to your house, peace be upon this home. And the peace of God will rest there in the name of Jesus Christ. Cherub brethren.